Can we try one more time? Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, that was a lot better. I hope you're doing okay today. It was a bit chilly on the way in, wasn't it? After a couple of really nice days, it got a little cold outside again. But good news is it's going to rain all week. So there's that as well. I heard there's possibility of some snow tonight after being in the 70s over the last couple of days. No wonder we're all sick. Today, I want to talk to you about who are we again. Last week, we started it off, and we talked about who we are. And this week, I want to talk to you from an entire chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read an entire chapter together, because this chapter spells out how we're supposed to relate to one another. And I want to point out a couple of things along the way, but I really just want to spend time in this passage because I think it's very important and it has some good implications for the way that we relate to one another as believers, as a church, and as the body of Christ. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of powerful deeds. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of the spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again to the head, nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are you all apostles? Are all prophets? Or all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. That's a long passage, and it has a lot to say in it. But I want to point out a few things that I believe are very important to remembering who we are. You see, I have been a part of churches that get this wrong. I was in a church one time where we had an opportunity to help some homeless people by inviting them into our church, giving them a place to belong and stay. And I had a group of people in the church that fought against this ministry because, one, they didn't want those type of people in their church, and two, they were afraid they would ruin the church. They would mess things up. Now, that's the wrong perspective on what the church is. You see, many times we've gotten it into our head that the church is the building, that we need to protect the building. We need to honor the building above all things. But the truth of the matter is, the church is you and me. The church is this group of people gathered right here. Do you remember back when COVID hit and you had to have services out in the parking lot? That was still church. It may not have felt the same, it may not have looked the same, but that was still church. Do you remember, maybe you don't because I don't, but back in the I just forgot what I was going to say. So, there are times when people's church buildings burn down. And God forbid that ever happened here. But we could still be the church. We could still do what the church does and meet people's needs. And we could still function as a body of Christ. You see, Paul is telling us here that the church is supposed to function as a body. Now, what do we know about bodies? I was cutting my toenails the other day and I clipped one of my toes a little too close. And every part of me ached for a couple of days. You can hurt the smallest part of your body in the most insignificant way and still feel pain across your whole body. If one part of your body is not functioning as it should, it affects the rest of you. Now, I think it's an indictment on the church that we can still function when and do what we call church when there are people in our church who are hurting and struggling. I think that speaks to how we've defined church and how we need to change that definition. You see, church our church, any church, should not be able to function apart from its members. Every member, every person has a role to play. Everybody has something to offer. Paul goes through a list of spiritual gifts that he says, the Spirit, the one Spirit, has gifted all of these different gifts to various people. What are those gifts again? Well, wisdom and knowledge and faith and gifts of healing and the working of powerful deeds and prophecy and discernment of spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues. These are all things that God has blessed people in our congregation with. Now, you may be sitting there wondering, where do I fit into this? And I think that's another failure of the church, to be able to say, I fit in with my gifts in this way, is something that the church should be doing a better job of. Most of the time, what church is today is a group of people who come in on Sunday mornings for 1, maybe 2 hours. They sing a couple songs. They hear a message that's a little encouraging and a little convicting. And then we go home. And we don't see anybody else again from our church for the rest of the week. Maybe we do once on Wednesday night. That's what church has become, but that's not what church was intended to be. If you'll remember, last week we read Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And in that passage it said they met together daily in the temple courts. They listened to the apostles teach. They fellowshipped. They broke bread and they prayed together. And they ate together in each other's homes. You see, church was intended to be about community, not about a service, not about one person standing up and speaking for 30 minutes or hopefully less. It was intended to be community. And if there's one thing that I know that our nation needs badly right now, it's people who belong. When you belong to a group, you are much less likely to hate people of that group. When there are people in your group who represent people of all races, nationalities and genders and everything else, you're much less likely to hate those people. And you're much more likely to look on people with compassion and love and empathy. And I think what Paul is telling us here is that the way that we should be functioning is as a body. We should function. Now, who in here wants to be an eye? Nobody? I certainly don't want to be the appendix. That seems to have little relevance to life whatsoever. But who in here wants to be a hand or a foot? Who wants to be the voice, the mind, the heart? We all have a role to play. Now, granted, this metaphor does fall apart because people move on. Leaders leave. People have to leave for certain reasons, and the church doesn't cease to function, but it functions, it should function differently when somebody leaves. If the church can keep going on in the same way as it's always been, then we're not a community. We're just a gathering of people who believe the same. And the church really should be a community. When one member suffers, all should suffer. And when one is honored, all should rejoice. Now, everybody in here belongs. And I think one of the things this church does really well is making people feel loved. It makes people feel like they belong. But what do we belong to? What is it that we're belonging to? What are we doing that we require everyone to be a part? How is it that we make everyone not only feel like they belong, but they make them feel like they are intrinsically valued because they have something to offer? You see, purpose is one of those things that people search their entire lives for. And we have it. We have purpose as a church. Our purpose is to be Christ's hands and feet to each other and to our community. Our purpose is to share good news with people. To share the good news of Jesus, because he has made us complete. He's given us an abundant life. Now, how many of you out here are living life and saying, mine's not that abundant right now? I think a lot of that has to do with community. I think a lot of that has to do with the way that we relate to one another. Because it's through relationships that we find unity and that we find relations. And that we find people who encourage us to be better. There are a lot of lone wolf Christians in the world today. There are a lot of people who are going it alone. For some, they're having to do it out of necessity. You see, there have been a lot of people who have been hurt by the church. They're all around us. Some of them may be sitting beside you. People who have been hurt by things the church has said and done to them, or said and done that the people saying it weren't thinking about the implications of what they were saying. There is a lot of people. There are a lot of people who have been hurt by the church. I am one of them. I've been hurt by several churches. I know my family has been, and this church has loved us well. Can I tell you a story real quick? We went to a church for almost 5 years, and one of my daughters sang on the microphone and was up in front of the church every Sunday, singing. And the people in the church knew her, we thought. They stopped going for a couple of weeks, and she came back, and she was treated like a visitor, and people didn't know her name. This church has made an effort to know my kids' names. And I know I have a lot of kids, and I know I get them wrong sometimes. So it's okay for you to mess their names up. But y'all are trying. And that has spoken volumes about your love and compassion. Church should be a place where you're known. And when you're known, you're loved. Not a place where you have to hide. Not a place where you have to keep who you are to yourself because you're afraid people will find out and use it against you. Church should be a place where you bring your passions, the things that drive you, and you plug them into the things that are driving so many other people, and you make the world a better place because we're together. Church should be a place where people come in and they feel like, wow, that really is a family. And not in the sense that I felt like going to my friends' family reunions, which was just weird. When you go to somebody's family reunion and you don't know anybody there. But more along the lines of, that's a family and I can fit in. There's a place for me there. That's the way church should feel. Now, a body is an organism. And organisms function in many different ways. And organisms have life cycles. And the church has a life cycle. It has a beginning. It has adolescent years when it's growing like crazy and making mistakes, but doing everything with a passion that nobody else has. And then it has its midlife years. And yeah, churches have midlife crises. And they struggle through questioning their own existence and their own purpose. And then churches die. We see that every year. More churches close their doors than open their doors every year. We have more churches that die than church plants that live and thrive. And that's just the sad reality that we live in. But churches also reinvent themselves. Churches also revitalize themselves. Or rather, the Holy Spirit revitalizes the church. It looks different. It sounds and feels different, but it should still be the family of God. So I want to leave you today with this encouragement. You guys are doing a good job. Keep up the good work. Is there room for growth? Yeah, always. Strive to be a family, and let's think together of ways that we can make each other integral to what goes on in everything that we do. I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you guys do for the Wednesday community table. For some people, that is church. They're not going to come in on a Sunday morning. But they experience love and compassion and help and healing through your hands and feet doing the work of Christ on a Wednesday night. The work that's being done on Mondays for the core community, that's church work. The clothes closet, that's church work. But we still have more to do. We have more people in our church who aren't involved. So we need to figure out what we can do to get them involved. Maybe it's a new ministry. Maybe it's expanding an existing one. Maybe it's just bringing people on. But let's actively think in those directions so that we engage everybody and we feel like a family. We're going to move into our time of communion. And I want to ask if everybody got their communion cups. I can deliver if I need to. This is the time that we remember. This is a time that we reflect on what Jesus did prior to the cross. Because he sat down with his disciples and he had a meal with them. And just as an aside, maybe one day we can do communion as a meal together. Because I think it expands your understanding of communion when you sit down and eat with each other instead of just sipping some juice and eating a wafer. Because Jesus actually ate with his disciples. But when he ate with them, he told them a couple of things. And I want to tell you a couple of things. This is Jesus' table. Some churches require that you be a member in order to take communion. Some churches require that you share with them your baptism experience. You don't have to be a member, but you have to communicate to them that you have been baptized in a like-minded church. I believe that Jesus' table is open to everyone. Everyone. Jesus does not tell people they can't come. This is an opportunity to experience grace, to experience Jesus in a different way. And yes, if you're new to this, this is kind of weird. But when we talk about what it means, it makes sense. You see, Jesus ate and drank with his disciples, and then he was captured in a garden and crucified, and his death on the cross was not just death at the hands of an imperial government. His death on the cross was a sacrifice for you and me. And what he said to his disciples that night, leading up to his death, was that he was going to die and that his death meant something to them. His death would mean something more than just the absence of life, but that his death would bring about salvation. So when he's sitting there, he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, "This is my body broken for you." And when he says this, he breaks the bread and he passes it around. And he gives it to everyone. And tells them to eat. Because he is sacrificing himself for them. And he sacrificed himself for you. So today, take the bread and we eat it in remembrance of that sacrifice. And then he took a cup and he filled it with wine and he passed it around and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." Now, we don't talk much about the new covenant in church, but the new covenant is that Jesus or God is going to write his laws on people's hearts. They're no longer going to be imposed by outside sources, but it's going to be known through your conscience, through your heart. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Not just the 12, not just the people in that room, but everyone. Jesus' sacrifice is good enough for everyone. And so we take this drink and we remember that Jesus shed his blood for our sins, but that he didn't just stay dead. He rose to life, and that in his resurrection, we have power. We have life. And so drink this cup and remember. Wow, that was a little tart. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the life and death of Jesus. We thank you for the stories of Jesus' life that tell us how to live. And we thank you for the letters of Paul that show us how we're supposed to relate to one another. God, would you make us into an inseparable body of Christ, one that exemplifies his life and his teachings, one that reaches out to help, to heal, to hold people. Would you make us all belong in such a way that we love this place, in such a way that we sacrifice our own wants and desires for the sake of unity. God, would you make us into your people, into a functioning body that loves well. God, as we go from this place, would you bless us? Remind us again and again that we need to fellowship and meet together as often as we can, so that we can build unity and love with each other, so that we can show the world that we are yours. Because you said it's our love for one another that will show the world that we belong to Christ. God, would you help us grow in that area? In Jesus' name, amen.